Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another ArsBlog ArsCast right here on arsblog.olay.com. It is the final ArsCast of the season. When you think about it, there's only one more game left and next ArsCast will be in the summer lull. So this is the final ArsCast of what has been a season that is made up of football games, some of which we won and some we lost and some we drew. I couldn't think of a good adjective to describe the season. One that hasn't been used countless times before in many various places, you realise. Trying to be just a little bit different today, that's all. Anyway, coming up on this show, we'll be looking ahead to the final game of the season against Stoke City. With me to discuss the various goings-on since the last ArsCast will be Good Player from goodplayer.com. Sylvester is here. We've got Amari Bischoff, PI, and some other stuff too. You know the way I say and some other stuff too every week, and there really is very rarely other stuff apart from the stuff that I actually say. That's just to kind of cover my ass in case I think of something in the middle of doing this and go, aha, that would be quite good or funny or whatever. But I never do. So I should stop saying that, and I apologize if you feel teased in any way, that there might be extra content that you might enjoy. Beer of the week this week is, it's called Lech, which is quite a good name for a beer, isn't it? You can imagine an old man, a dirty old man, drinking Lech, making him extra lechy, hanging around looking at young girls going, ee, like a dirty old Lech. Anyway, I presume it's some kind of Eastern European beer. It was in the off-license on special offer, and who am I to turn down a special offer? Nuh-uh, in these recessionary times, one must look to find special offers wherever one can get them. I did also have a big packet of hula hoops, which I haven't had for ages. I think the last time I had a packet of hula hoops, they fit on my fingers. And they certainly wouldn't do that now. And, well, definitely not. They're all gone, so I can't even experiment. And this being audio and not visual in any way, it would be a foolish thing to do. So here we are, final ArsCast of the season. And since the last ArsCast, well, we witnessed Manchester United win the title. Wasn't that something? It really was. It was a much better performance from us on Saturday against United, and a little bit of pride was restored after all the other goings on, which we've covered in great detail. We might even have scored a goal. Fabregas hit the post, and that was about it. I thought Van Persie might have done better with his header in the first half, but it wasn't to be. I was really praying for a goal. I was actually praying for a Patrice Evra own goal, because Evra has now become my new, what's the word? Figure of hate, perhaps. That's three words, I know, but I'm trying to think of one word. I know there's one word that sums him up very well, but in the context of what I was speaking about. Because, you know, what he said, the whole men against babies thing, I didn't like that very much. And then after the Man United game, when Cesc went in and gave him a little bit of a kick, which I thought was good, I enjoyed that, because I think that's only fair. I think if you're a footballer that slags off a load of other footballers before you play them again within a very short period of time, then you're asking to be kicked. I think it's only right and proper that somebody kicks you. And Cesc did it, and Nasri did it. Adi Bayor, had he been playing, probably would have done it too, but given the season he's had, he would have missed. But anyway, I was hoping he would score an own goal, or that someone would kick the ball ridiculously hard into his face, break his nose, and it would go in underneath Van der Sar's legs or something like that, leaving him a bloody mess on the floor, holding his face, his broken nose, ruling him out of the Champions League final, and United having to wait another week at least to secure the league, which they would have done anyway, I'm sure, against Hull. But it wasn't to be, and literally within milliseconds of the final whistle going, the TV was off in my house. I read some good reports about how we were very sporting and our players were very sporting after the final whistle with the Manchester United players. And, you know, fair play to them. Fair play to them. I don't want to watch it, though, because it involves watching them being happy. And that's no good. It's like watching Teddy Sheringham win the lottery. Could you imagine watching something like that? Or imagine if Teddy Sheringham had a reality TV program and they told him he was terminally ill, which would make for fantastic television. And then the next week, you see the joy and relief and happiness on his face as the doctors told him they had misdiagnosed him and there was nothing wrong with him at all. Could you imagine? Who wants to watch that? Nobody. That's who. Nobody. So our final or penultimate game of the season, a 0-0 draw, some pride restored, but, you know, it's a game best forgotten, I think. All the other interesting stuff that happened involved Arsene Wenger and, of course, Emmanuel Adebayor, who didn't even make the squad for the Manchester United game because of, I think, the interview that he gave to Football Focus, which was broadcast, I don't know, just a few minutes before the Manchester United game. And he wasn't in the squad. Arsene Wenger said he had an injury. I'm not sure I believe that. And there you are. We'll talk about Adebayor with good player. And, of course, talk about all the Arsene Wenger Madrid stuff with good player, too. The main story of the week, though, had to be the shocking and rather distressing news that Amari Bischoff, PI, might leave the club. Brought in from somewhere, having played approximately zero football. We all had terribly high hopes for this young man. He was to be our next Bergkamp and Pires rolled into one. Pierkamp, we were going to call him. But now he feels he should go elsewhere because Carlos Queiroz, or Queiroz, or whatever the hell his name is, told him he could play for the Portuguese national side. What a pleasure that would be. You get to play alongside Deco and Cristiano Ronaldo. Who wouldn't want that? So it's with heavy heart that we bade farewell to Amari Bischoff, PI. We shall never see his like again. A moment's silence, please, for Amari Bischoff, PI. I think that should probably cover that. Okay, now, to talk about all the stuff that's gone on, Arsene Wenger and Real Madrid and Adebayor and various other bits and pieces, we welcome Good Player from goodplayer.com. Hi there.
Hi there.
Arsene Wenger, we have to start there this week. Obviously, there was a lot of talk, a lot of newspaper stories, a lot of speculation after the tempestuous shareholders Q&A meeting last week. He made some comments on French television about Real Madrid being interesting, and this began a snowball effect, I think. Do you think it was a case that he was just firing a shot across the board, or was it, you know, just the press taking advantage of what is a relatively difficult situation at Arsenal at the moment and making the most of it?
I don't know. I suspect most people don't know. Even Arsene Wenger may not know. He may have come out with it, then realised what he said and thought, well, what do I clarify it? Do I not? Who knows, really? I think in football journalism, you rarely take comments like that and decide, oh, actually, let's not do anything with them. Equally, you could have interpreted it as him suggesting that Alex Ferguson was interested in going over and managing Real Madrid because he said every coach would be interested. We just don't know, really.
The effect that it's had, I think, has been interesting because there have been some disgruntled voices this season. We know that. We know that the team hasn't won a trophy for 4 years. We know all that. And there are people that think maybe he's taken the club as far as he can. But at the same time, there are those who might have been erring on the side of negativity who have considered the possibility of Arsene Wenger leaving and don't like it very much.
No, it's a bit like bickering with your partner for ages and then someone turns around and says, you know, well, why don't you two split up then? And you turn around and go, we can't do that. We love each other. Mm. And, you know, it feels a little bit like that in a way. I think there is disgruntlement. There are a lot of people who are not happy with how it's going, but they're not calling for Wenger's head. But the thing is, they're the silent majority, if you like. You hear the very loud voices, whether it be on the internet or at the games. People who get most irate. But I saw one thing in the newspaper that Wenger was shaken when some guy called out at a game sometime this season, sacked the manager. Well, you know, there have been 30 home games in all competitions, 60,000 fans at each. Something like 1.8 million people or something. If one guy sacked the manager, I wouldn't take too much notice of it, really. So it's difficult sometimes to get a true gauge of what opinion is.
Yeah, the good line in the paper, I think, was, you know, the problem with the silent majority is that they're silent. And the negative voices are the ones that you hear most often. And, you know, it happens on Arsblog, and I'm sure it happens on your side as well, that when there's a terrible result or a bad result or something negative is happening, the hits on the site go up. Whereas if we win a game comfortably, people are just happy to, you know, go about their business and not engage in any way.
Yeah, and also, you know, nitpick, if you like. It's as human beings, it's not, you know, you don't really watch Arsenal go, this is all perfect. I think even in the Invincibles season, we'd sit there and we'd look at things. And I even think I remember someone saying that for a team of Invincibles, they weren't that good. if there were other Invincibles teams, they would have been better. You know, it's you get bizarre things like that.
I mean, I'm sure that if you go back through the archives and Arsblog, I'm not sure if the old comments are working, but I'm sure that during that season, people were complaining, and I'm pretty sure I remember it, that people were complaining, we draw too many games.
Yeah.
I've strong memories of that, so I don't know. The other one thing I was just looking back at old stuff, and maybe it puts a little bit of things at the moment in perspective, in that we did go 3 years without a trophy before under Arsene Wenger from 1998 to 2001, and obviously it happened at the start of his reign, but I was just looking in 1998, or in 1999 rather, we lost that semi-final to Manchester United. Bergkamp missed that penalty, and then we lost the league. I think it was Leeds, was it? That goal by Hasselbank when Vivas made the mistake. And then in 2000, we lost the UEFA Cup final, went out of the FA Cup in the fourth round to Leicester. In 2001, we lost the FA Cup final again. So, I mean, those were hard times as well. And I think it's probably because it was at the start of his reign that we were a bit more, not forgiving, but understanding of time without trophies. Whereas you look at what we've done now, we've got to the Champions League final, Carling Cup final, Champions League semi-finals, which he never ever did with the Invincibles, who draw too many games.
No, I mean, exactly, but I also think we forget about those three seasons, we forget that at the time things weren't great there. And what's interesting is if you look at the 98-99 season, we finished a point off Man U, we got 77 points or something, they got 78. Then if you look at the two following years that we've talked about, we finished miles behind them. I mean, we finished an absolute country mile behind them. And the amazing thing was that then Wenger brought in five players in the summer of 2001. Actually, only one of them made any significant impact that season, Sol Campbell. And we went and won the double fantastically. Now, this is why I think, my opinion is, he does not get enough credit for last season. People say the argument that, you know, it's been 4 years of continual decline is frankly rubbish. It's flawed because last season we got 83 points. We came 4 points off winning the title. We were absolutely brilliant for a while. We were 5 points clear and deservedly so. And people say we overachieved. Again, utter rubbish. And so that argument just doesn't hold sway, in my opinion. He had 2 years where the Invincibles kind of died. You know, we had 2004-05 where we won a trophy at least. Then 2005-06 where they really died. That was the end of them. 2006-07 to try and get something going. 2007-08 he really did, and I thought last season we were very unlucky. And even after we screwed up with those four draws, I think things bounced our way at Old Trafford. I think it was Drogba was ruled onside when he should have been off at Stamford Bridge. You know, we still could have done it. And what's annoying is that this season we've gone backwards. But the narrative that it's been 4 years of permanent decline it just ignores the facts, frankly. The disappointment is that after such a good season last year, we had these players leave in the summer and not be replaced. And what has happened this year was sadly so predictable, and that's what makes it very disappointing.
Well, I think that could be the source of a lot of the frustration as well, that having seen us get to where we got to last season, to go backwards again this season for reasons that were as plain as day to most of us. I think that's probably what's most frustrating. Yeah. Anyway, we'll go on to Emmanuel Adebayor, who wasn't in the squad last weekend against Manchester United. I suspect that the club found out what was in the BBC Football Focus interview, which I think most people have seen, in which he spoke about the disenchantment he has with the fans and sort of pointed the finger at Arsenal fans a bit for his poor form and also the poor form of other players throughout the season. And it was a rather unusual interview, you have to say.
It was unusual. At least it was candid, which makes a change for footballers. You know, not shackled by the PRs and the press officers the whole time. I think he's wrong. The reason I think he's wrong is that the vast majority of the fans who go to the games, and I've been to all but one home game this season, were annoyed with what happened last summer. But we'd seen it before with Vieira and Henry, and basically you take the principle, well, do the business on the pitch and I will be forgiven in a couple of months. And unfortunately, Adebayor never did that. Not only did he not do the business, but he didn't try hard enough. Now, if he has a tiny, tiny point in that some of the abuse that he's taken this season has been frankly shocking from a tiny minority, a very, very loud, very, very loud tiny minority who shout at the top of their voices, just shout at the players, abuse, you know, particularly Adebayor. And I think, and that's terrible, and I think they were wrong to do that and they wanted him to fail. But he shouldn't have let them win. As for booing Fabregas and Van Persie, I don't know what he's on about there. That's just not true. Equally, that said, there has been a lot less chanting of players' names, individual players' names this season, that compared to previous seasons, compared to last season, certainly. And that's and that does speak, I suppose, of a slight disenchantment. And I think it can be a funny crowd. It can be a funny crowd, Arsenal. You know, and it's hard to explain sometimes, but. Yeah, I think he was wrong, essentially.
Does he have a future at the club, do you think? Or has the chasm between player and fan grown so big that it's irreparable now?
Well, probably. But ultimately, actually, it's probably, in one sense, it's not. Because what's he done? He hasn't played well this season. He hasn't really tried hard enough. The things he said, I don't think they're that disrespectful, you know.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arseblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arseblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arseblog.
I can live with it. It's his opinion. I think he's wrong. I think he will leave, but were he to stay and were he to start running around like mad again and doing what Adebayor of last season did, I think everyone would be pretty happy. We're a pretty simple bunch, football fans, really. You know, we're kind of a, we're not you know, if you want to go into making moral philosophical judgments, don't go to football. Frankly, if they haven't killed anyone and they start running around wearing an Arsenal shirt and trying hard, I'll probably support them.
Isn't it true, though? But like you say, there's that group that maybe want him to fail, that after this and after everything that went the previous summer, that, you know, if there is one or two or three games or four or five games, God forbid, that he goes without scoring, then it becomes, you know, a huge thing which engenders sort of negativity around the team, which maybe we could do without.
It does, but you can go without scoring for a few games and you can go without trying for a few games. And there's a big difference. And I just don't think he's tried. And I've spoken to people, not just, you know, I've spoken to so many people of different ages, some who've been watching Arsenal for years and years and years and years and years, longer than I've been alive, and they say he's just not trying. And you can tell, and everyone's saying it. And, you know, the thing is, if you try, you'll score goals as well, particularly a player like him. You know, that's what his game is not based on precision, perfection, you know, like Henry's was, tiny margins here or there, a curled shot from 30 yards. His is on taking a chance, closing people down. If you do that, you'll get the odd goals. He's never had a problem scoring goals when his head's been up, put it that way.
I'll put you on the spot, though. Do you think he's going to be with us next season or not?
No.
No, well, me neither, I have to say. It'll be interesting to see what happens on Sunday. Obviously, we've got the game against Stoke, and you want, I think, a good performance and a good win. Stoke really don't have anything to play for. They probably achieved everything they had hoped they would achieve this season by just staying up. And credit to them for that. But, I mean, a good win and a goodbye, farewell, we should say, for the summer to the fans. A positive finish to this season is important. It's not the end of the world if it doesn't happen, but I think it is important.
I think it is important. I think people want a positive finish. I think the sounds, you know, this march, etc., in support of Wenger, we'll have to see how big that is. But, you know, I think people want a positive finish. There are reasons to be positive. There are reasons to be disappointed at this season, of course. But there's a lot more right with our squad than there is wrong with it. I think that's what I'd say. And, you know, and I think if Wenger buys well this summer, you know, we've got a great chance next season. It's a very short summer, interestingly. It's 12 weeks from Saturday, so from tomorrow, up until the kickoff. And last year it was 14 weeks. So things are going to come along very, very quickly, actually.
Well, we did have Euro 2008 to keep us mildly occupied. This time it's just transfer rumours all the way. Good player, we better leave it there and we'll chat to you during the summer. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much to Good Player from goodplayer.com, and don't forget to check out his blog. Still to come, we'll be looking ahead to the Stoke game this weekend. Some team news with that as well. Sylvester's here. We might talk about the new kit very briefly and other stuff too. Yeah, see, there I go again talking about other stuff too when there is no other stuff. I really have to get a handle on this. I have to stop. I'm like a junkie for other stuff that doesn't even exist. Can you be addicted to something that doesn't exist? That's a good question. It's actually hurting my brain while I think about it. So while the other stuff that is not to come doesn't come, you'll have to make do with this.
When the kid walked into the office, I knew something was up. He stood there with a look on his face like a politician that's been caught claiming expenses for his Brazilian. Whether that's a wax or an 18-year-old boy that he keeps in an apartment in Rio de Janeiro, that's for you to decide. What's up, kid? I said. I don't know how to say this to you, he said. Well, just come out and say it. I'm leaving, he said. You're leaving, I said, after everything I did for you? Nobody wanted you. You were nothing. You were down on your luck living on the streets. I took you in. I gave you a job, an apprenticeship, and you want to leave? Yeah, look, you taught me a lot. I appreciate that, he said, but I got big plans. Oh, you got big plans, do you? I said. Yeah, he said. This ain't so difficult. There's no big trick to being a private investigator. I can go out and be a dick all on my own. In fact, I'm gonna be a bigger dick than you ever were. You know what, kid? I said. You're probably right.
And who knows if a Mary Bischoff PI will ever be seen again. It remains to be seen. We got our first glimpses of the new away kit. This week, first proper full-on glimpses, players in the shirts, pictures on arsenal.com. Some of them were good because they were the players actually posed for pictures. The other pictures were the
new kit superimposed on top of players in the old kit, if you get what I mean. Which didn't look so good. Me, I don't like it. It's blue. And I have got a problem with blue kits. As I explained on the blog, I just don't like them. They're just not very Arsenal-like. And I'm not sure why we've got a new away kit this season. Because I know it was the 20th anniversary kit and what have you this season. But it's such a good kit. Could we not keep it for another year? It's like the 2003-2004 away kit that the Invincibles wore. That was some kit. Classic Arsenal. Yellow. A collar. With blue. Yellow and blue. Arsenal. Away. But blue and blue is not Arsenal away. It's Everton or Chelsea or Birmingham or some horrible people. Name me a good team that plays in blue. It doesn't happen. Maybe if you're Italian, you might argue with me on this one. Or French, indeed. But from an Arsenal perspective, blue is not my favourite colour. And the pinstripes. What's that about? It's like a $79.99 suit from Michael Guiney's. And I know many of you listening now are going, what the fuck is Michael Guiney's? Well, it's the kind of place in Dublin where you can buy a suit for $79.99. Stretch proof, polyester and pinstripes and what have you. And of course the name. It's Midnight Blue. Oh, so it's just fucking shit blue. Midnight Blue, please. We already covered this on the blog, why that's not a good idea. Midnight Blue. However, there's nothing we can do about it now. We'll be in that kit next season, and maybe next season is the season to break the habit of a lifetime. By actually winning something wearing a blue kit. Because we've never done it before. Has to happen sometime, I suppose. Maybe that's the cunning thinking behind it. They're getting the law of averages on our side for next season. Aha, I see what they're doing now. We've been so long without a trophy that eventually we have to win a trophy wearing blue. So they made us... I'm really stretching it here a bit, aren't I? It's not happening, is it? No. Anyway, not my favourite kit in the world, but I'm sure many other people will like it. Reaction has been mixed, I have to say. There are people who really, really do like it. They are people who wear $79.99 suits from Michael Guiney's, of course, but that's neither here nor there.
Hello, everyone. It's me again, Sylvester. Oh, it has been a crazy week at Arsenal with everything that's gone on. Arsene Wenger, Real Madrid, and the shareholders' meeting. The day after the meeting, Arsene, he called me into his office and he said, don't pay any attention to what those people say about you. I have faith in you. I believe in you and your funky ways. I said, what did they say? He said, they called you geriatric. I said, Arsene, don't worry your pretty little face about it. My name is not Jerry and I've never scored an hat-trick. Oh, baby!
So we've made it all the way through another season. The final game takes place on Sunday. We can't go up in the table. We can't go down in the table. We are where we are. Stoke are where they are. They may be able to go up or down a bit. I don't really know. And they'll be relatively happy. Well, I don't think they'll be relatively happy. They'll be very, very happy with the season that they had. I think most people would have put some money on them to go down. They beat us. They've beaten plenty of people along the way, and fair play to them. I don't really have any problem at all with Stoke staying up. They may not be my favourite team in the world, but there are other teams in this league that I would much prefer to see go down. Sadly, Blackburn won't be one of them, and Sam Allardyce won't be playing his trade in the Championship, but ideally, on the final day of the season, what I would like to see is this. On the final day of the season, all in the last 2 or 3 minutes, of course, Newcastle think they're safe, then Hull score or something and they think they're safe. But in the final couple of minutes, Jeremy Aliadier. There has to be a use for this boy, right? We have endured Aliadier for I don't know how many years, 10 or 11 years. He didn't score for us and then he scored against us. So there's got to be some purpose, some higher purpose to Jeremy Aliadier
other than being injured all the time for Arsenal and then scoring against us when he transfers to another team. Because that's just not right. So his purpose in life must be to relegate both Hull and Newcastle. In the final couple of minutes, he scores a goal or two goals even to make Middlesbrough win, and United beat Hull and Newcastle lose to whoever they're playing, and both Shearer and Phil Brown go down. And to me, that would be the ideal end to the season. At the bottom half of the table. From our point of view, obviously you want a good win. You want things to, as we said earlier, we're a good player. You want things to go off on a positive note. You don't want the bad feeling that's been too apparent at times this season to fester over the summer. You want them to win, play well. Everybody goes around, has a bit of a clap. The players clap the fans. The fans clap the players. We haven't won a trophy, but, you know, that makes it more common as an Arsenal season than a season in which we win a trophy. So we should be used to this by now. It's not nice and nobody likes it and nobody really enjoys it that much, but it is what it is. You can't win something every year. And we haven't ever been a club that wins something every single year. So all we can do is learn the lessons from this season, hopefully bring in the kind of players that will make things better next season. But on Sunday, you just want things to go well between the fans and the players, and for them to do their little lap of, not honour, because there's not a great deal of honour to it. I don't think that's the right word, but you know what I'm talking about. They'll say their thanks to the fans and what have you. So I do hope that happens on Sunday. I hope everybody, given the day that's in it, I mean, we hear about all these songs of support for Arsene Wenger. I don't see any problem with that. And I'm not sure about this March thing. It seems a little over the top. Rather, to me, I mean, if people want to march, they want to, fine, but it just seems a bit OTT in a way. Nobody was killed or nobody died or nobody threatened to do anything, really. You know, we just had a shit season. So sing songs and what have you, but fucking marches? I don't know. It's a bit Spanish, you see. When I was living in Spain, they used to march for everything. The weather wasn't good enough. They'd be out in fucking middle of Via Laietana, going down, fucking banging their drums, doom, 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 looking for justice for I don't know what. Always. Trade unions were always doing it as well. We are the workers of Mercadona, a supermarket chain. Doom, doom, they've asked us to work 4 extra minutes this week. We shan't do it. Doom, 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 doom. And you've got 25 people marching down one of the biggest roads in Barcelona, holding up all the traffic with a police escort and everything. So it just kind of reminds me of that a little bit. But if you're involved, happy marching to you. I think singing songs for the manager in the stadium, fantastic. No problem. And sing songs for the team and for the players and everything else. Of course, if we're 2 or 3 nil down after Rory Delap chucking in 3 unstoppable throw-ins / crosses, might be a slightly different atmosphere, but fingers crossed that won't happen. Right, that's about it then. So thank you for being with the Arsecast all season long. I appreciate all your comments and emails and downloads and listening and all that kind of stuff. We'll talk to you next season. I'm joking. No, we'll be back probably next week. But during the summer, the Arsecast may be somewhat intermittent because, as you know, there is a dearth of information at times during the summer. And while I have always endeavoured to bring you an Arsecast, I think from time to time, if there is no call for an Arsecast, there shall be no Arsecast. But anyway, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff to be talking about next week. I say that now, but maybe I'm premature. Maybe there won't be an Arsecast next week. I'm not promising anything. But there may be. Or there may not. That's as much as I can promise. It's a 50-50 chance. But anyway, thank you for listening all this season. Hopefully, this time next year, we're celebrating a bit more than we are now. So until the next Starscast, whenever that might be, talk to you then. And of course, all weekend, all week, all next week, all the week after, and all summer on the blog. Have a good one. Cheers.
Hello, Mr. Hillwood. Yeah, David O'Leary here. Fine, thanks very much, and I hope the same is true of your family, as we say. Anyway, just ringing, just to touch base, as it were, and just to remind you, of course, that I'm around, and if, for example, Arsene decided, as I say, to one day give up the managerial position at Arsenal, because he's driven out by the fans who expect too much, or by blog sites, as I say, that write terrible things about him, or the lure, as I say, of Madrid is too much for him, then you might, you know, as I say, consider me for the job of manager. You know, I've played, as I say, more games for Arsenal than anybody else. I know the club very well. I spent many great happy years there. I grew up there alongside great players like Liam Brady and Frank, as I say, Stapleton, and you know, it would be a great honour for me, and if the opportunity, as I say, came up to manage Arsenal in the future, I'd be more than happy to do that, as I say. Hello? Hello? Oh.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.